Good morning. Thanks for coming to this early morning session. So today, I intend to share with you some of the data, two-year data from our corn production in a loamy sand soil under different management practices. So first, I would like to acknowledge I'm a PhD candidate, and I would like to acknowledge my committee advisors, Dr. Ventura and Dr. Rosen, and also our grad fellow, Chuck. So nitrogen management and irrigation are probably two of the most important factors that affect the nitrogen cycle in soil. So nitrous oxide is emitted by the processes of nitrification and denitrification, and it's a greenhouse gas, a potent greenhouse gas, which has, all you know, global warming potential of 300 times greater than carbon dioxide in a 100-year lifespan. And nitrate is a groundwater contaminant in itself, but it also can contribute to nitrous oxide emission in a receiving ecosystem. So here I have turned direct nitrous oxide emission to the emission of the gas from the soil where the nitrogen is applied, and indirect emission will refer to emission of nitrous oxide due to nitrate downstream in the receiving ecosystem. So some of the lit review where people have reported the effects of nitrogen source and irrigation on nitrous oxide emission. Reports have been there that conventional urea is more effective in mitigating gas emission compared to anhydrous ammonia, and slow-release fertilizers like polymer-coated or urea with inhibitors, urea's inhibitor and nitrification inhibitor, is more effective in mitigating nitrous oxide emission compared to conventional urea. And in terms, as far as irrigation is concerned, there hasn't been that many studies that report the comparison, but there are some which reports that irrigation plots have more gas emission compared to non-irrigated. And of course, nitrate leaching is a concern in nitrogen-treated plots, especially in irrigated plots, and there are some studies which shows slow-release fertilizers can reduce some nitrate leaching compared to conventional urea. So the objective of my study primarily is to look at the effectiveness of slow-release fertilizers in terms of reducing nitrous oxide emissions as well as nitrate leaching. So also the interacting effect of irrigation with the nitrogen forms was an interesting question for me. And we not only quantified direct emission, but also tried to estimate the indirect emission derived from nitrate leaching. And finally, we also have yield data, and I have also quantified nitrous oxide emission and nitrate leaching per grain yield. So if you had been heard to the keynote speaker last Saturday, he also mentioned how environmental issues and agronomic production, they are not the concern of either or. We have to mitigate greenhouse gas emission, but at the same time, production should not be compromised. So this will be a very interesting metric to look at. My research site is in central Minnesota, very well-run loamy sand, typical for central Minnesota where corn and potatoes are grown. So we established the experimental design with randomized complete block design with irrigation as the main treatment. So irrigation and rainfed were main treatment in four reps. Each main block was subdivided in several subplots where different nitrogen sources were randomly applied in each block. So four of those subplots got these treatments, polymer-coated urea. We use ESN from Agrium, and urea with the inhibitors. Agrotain had SuperU, so we had SuperU for that, and conventional urea. So all the fertilizer treatments were applied at 180 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, but very important point to note that conventional urea was split applied, and we also had control plots with no fertilizer. So the methods that we use for measuring nitrous oxide emission, we use static chamber method. gas samples were collected twice a week during the season and were analyzed in gas chromatograph equipped with the electron capture detector. And total emission for the whole growing season was estimated by integrating these daily fluxes over the time. Mm-hmm. And nitrate leaching, first we collected soil water from the field on a weekly basis, and nitrate concentration in the water was estimated by running the samples in a flow-through calorimetric analyzers, LATCHIP devices. And then drainage rate were estimated using the mass balance sequence, equation for the water. So as a product of daily nitrate concentration and the drainage rate, we got the amount of nitrate leased. And then we used the IPCC emission factor to estimate the indirect emission. So these emission factors are given to estimate the fraction of nitrate leased that will eventually convert to nitrous oxide downstream. So as you see, the emission factors has quite a wide range of uncertainty. So I here directly jump into my final result data set. So here I have means of gas emissions by treatments. So we have kilogram nitrogen per hectare gas emissions. So this data didn't have any yearly or irrigation effects, so that's why I have composite means by treatments. We can see treatment effect, this urea with inhibitors, it has significantly lower emission compared to the polymer-coated urea. And urea itself didn't have difference from these two slow-release fertilizers. So probably here we can see that chemical inhibition in the nitrogen cycle seems to have more effect than the physical coating. And nitrate leaching, of course, irrigation had the significant effect, so that's why I have plotted means by treatment only for irrigated plots and rain-fed plots, and then everything together. So across the nitrogen-treated plots, we don't see any significant difference, but the main story here is that irrigation did increase by substantial amount. For the nitrogen-treated plots, we could see the increase in leaching by 100 or even 200%. Now we take the amount of nitrate leased and then using the emission factors, we estimate the indirect emission and then add it up to the direct emission and we get the total emission. So I use all the three different emission factors. So of course, when the emission factor was low, 0.05%, that means you multiply the nitrate leased by 0.0005. So of course, indirect emission accounted for very less, very little. It was about just a percent of the direct emission. But with the emission factors, let's say if we take the average of the range, which is 0.75, indirect emission was about 30 or even little more percent of the direct emission. And if you really go to the extreme, 2.5%, then it was like 100% or even more of direct emission. So depending on these values of emission factor, it seems that indirect emission can be really substantial. So probably this is also an area need to be addressed, probably more robust model to estimate it or some different nice methodologies so that we can measure indirect emission. So we have a grain yield. They were different by years, by irrigation, so I have plotted them by year and by irrigation and by also all together. So here, thing to be noted would be 2010, irrigation, and all together we see urea, split applied urea. I should stress split applied urea had more yield than the slow-release fertilizers. And I think people have known this for long, that when urea is split-applied, then it's more efficient. So in our experimental plots, we also had subplots where urea was also managed just like the slow-release fertilizer. By that, I mean they were also applied all at one time pre-plantation and at the same rate, 180 kilograms per hectare. But unfortunately, we don't have gas emission data and nitrate leaching data for that plot. But I have a yield data for that, and it is substantially less than the yield by split plot, split applied urea. So probably the effectiveness of slow-release fertilizers in terms of gas emission or reducing nitrate leaching and in increasing yield could have been observed if urea was also treated the same way, applied all at one time and in the beginning of the season. So here we see yield of urea has really significantly low values. So now I take the emission data and then divide it with the grain yield. So we get here yield scale emission data. Across the treatments, there was no significant difference, but we can see that irrigated plots have quite lower emissions per grain yield, and that's what we want. Like, emissions per grain yield should be low. So irrigated plots looks better here. Same way, I have leaching data expressed per grain yield. We don't see any significant difference across the treatment plot, nitrogen treated plots. And now here I again take all the total gas emissions and then express it per grain yield using different emission factors. So here also story is the same, that depending on this emission factor variable, the contribution of indirect emission can be very significant. So summing up my presentation, some of the conclusions here. Slow-release fertilizer didn't show any effectiveness in reducing green nitrous oxide emission compared to urea. But again, I have to say here that probably it's due to the reason that conventional urea that we are looking at here or comparing was split applied. And between the two slow release, urea with the with inhibitors, which is super U, decrease gas emissions compared with the polymer coated urea. And direct emissions were not affected by irrigation, but when you look at total emission by grain yield, it was affected by irrigation. The rain-fed plots had much, much higher emission per grain yield. And irrigations significantly increased the amount of nitrate leached, but across the treatment nitrogen-treated plots, we didn't see any significant difference. And indirect emission, still an elusive factor. We still don't know the exact estimate, but the point here is that the contribution of indirect emission has to be also accounted for, and it can be really substantial depending on these factors. So with this, I would like to acknowledge my granting agencies and our colleagues and mentors at USDA and the University of Minnesota. And thank you for your patience. And if you have any question, I would be happy to try to answer.
Thank you. Do we have 2 minutes for questions?
Yes.
Yeah, California is threatened to regulate nitrogen application on agriculture based on the assumption that nitrous oxide was going to be significant. But then the studies they started to do and yours sort of support the fact that it's insignificant. So would you regulate agriculture?
Anyway, I'm not
a science-based answer to that question.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not in the capacity to regulate, but I would say that, yeah, we need to have, it's not easy to do the complete mass balance for nitrogen, but I would say that we would need to look at more closely in different aspects, like nitrogen loss can happen in different pathways, so there can be some trade-offs. Like we had some studies which showed it can some of the fertilizer type may reduce nitrous oxide emission, but at the same time, in the other side, it may increase nitric oxide emission. So I think we need more holistic approach to look at the different pathways of nitrogen loss first. And that's what we try to do here, other than just the gas emissions, especially since this was loamy sand. We try to look at the another way of possible way of nitrogen loss. So maybe I would say I won't hurry. I would like to first look at a little more aspects, volatilizations in the case of urea.
Okay, thank you, Bijesh.
Thank you.